Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, new figures today show that road deaths so far this year are actually lower than last year, but that a big majority of all deaths, 82%, happened on rural roads with the speed limit of 80 kilometres or higher. We're going to speak now to Fine Gael TD for Galway East, Kieran Cannon, who is facing into a year-long recovery after he was knocked from his bike 3 weeks ago, fracturing his knee. And thank you very much, Kieran, for joining us this evening. Can you tell us what happened? Kieran, can you hear us?
Good evening, Sarah.
Hi, I think there's a...
Yes, I was travelling through a place very familiar to yourself, Sarah, the beautiful village.
Go on ahead, Kieran. There's a long delay in the line, but you go on ahead. Thank you.
The long delay. Okay. I was travelling through the village of Moycullen, heading west towards Clifton, and I was involved in a collision with another vehicle. The vehicle collided with my right-hand side, seriously damaging my knee. Thankfully, because of the great work of the staff and the surgeons of Galway University Hospital, I'm now on a steady road to recovery. It was badly damaged. I can't put any weight on it for 3 months. It'll be about a year before I'm back to full strength again, but at least I'm here, Sarah, I'm talking to you, and it was pretty traumatic, but it could have been an awful lot worse.
I can only imagine, because I know that you're an avid cyclist. I'd see you on Twitter talking about it a lot, and I wonder, was it always in the back of your mind that something like this might happen?
It was, and I suspect it's at the back of the minds of most people who take to their bicycles every day in Ireland, be they a student cycling to school, a nurse cycling to work, or simply a few friends out for a bike ride on a Sunday afternoon. It's something that is the back of your mind. But what you must always remember is cycling itself is not an inherently dangerous pastime. It's exceptionally safe. But when you mix cycling and bicycles and people on bicycles with other road users, that's when things become difficult and become dangerous. And I suppose that's really the kind of the key message that I would like to get across this evening, is that, you know, we need to understand that our roads are there to be shared by all road users, that everybody who uses our roads needs to be exceptionally considerate and aware of the vulnerability of other road users. And if we can somehow begin to think in those terms, Sarah, for the future here in Ireland, we will see, hopefully, an awful lot more people cycling, and the level of cycling and indeed pedestrian fatalities and injuries going down.
It's interesting because I mentioned at 4:30 when we started the show that I was going to be talking to you, and the reaction was immediate in terms of people getting in touch with the show. Lots of people very supportive of what you're talking about, and then lots of people also giving out about cyclists, and this always happens when we discuss the issue of cycling on the show. And I want to get into some of that in just a moment, but just in terms of the incident itself with yourself, can you just describe to us a little bit about what went through your mind then when, you know, you're cycling along doing everything that you should be doing, and then what you've sort of been worrying about, as you say, in the back of your mind, maybe always happens, you know, what went through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I've been cycling for well over 40 years now. I've seen some of my friends being involved in serious cycling accidents. I suppose it's always lingering somewhere.
And have we lost Kieran? I think we might have. We're going to try him on the phone. I'm going to go to a couple of texts while we try to get Kieran back up on the line. As I say, lots of people getting in touch on this. And one of the things I want to ask Kieran about in just a moment is a text that we got from one listener who says that in the UK, cyclists can submit their body camera footage of dangerous or reckless driving to the police, which can be used in court and can result in penalty points and fines. It would be great if there was a mechanism for something similar here in Ireland. It would really help cyclists to feel safer and perhaps even to keep drivers more accountable. I think with Kieran back on the line, I'm going to ask him about that in just a second. But Kieran, sorry, you were just telling us what went through your mind when the accident happened.
Well, obviously, my family, my immediate family, finding some way to inform them that I was okay, I was safe. So there was a quick phone call from inside the ambulance on the way back to GUH. And, you know,
obviously, you know, kind of concerned about what long-term impact the injury might have on you and your ability to get back on the bike again, because I have every intention of getting back on my bike again and continuing to enjoy cycling. It's something I've done all through my life. I find it hugely beneficial in terms of my physical and mental well-being, in terms of the group, amazing group of friends that I've assembled through cycling, through a lifetime of cycling. So I suppose those are the things, and that was the first question I asked the surgeon the day after the surgery, is, will I cycle again? And he said, of course you will, absolutely, you'll be back on your bike and you'll be well able to cycle again. So that was critically important to me.
And can you tell us about the surgery and when you expect to be recovered?
The surgery, I had a thing called a tibial plateau fracture, which means that a critically important part of my knee was broken into pieces, and the surgeons very skillfully reassembled it using bone grafts and screws and other such material, a major feat of engineering, and I'm very thankful to them for having done so. But I can't put any weight on this area for 3 months at all. And then once I arrive at the point where I can put weight on it, I then begin a serious program of rehab and physio, so that, you know, hopefully within the minimum time frame, I can be back walking well and, again, as I say, back on my bike.
Yes, indeed, and we hope you can, because I can imagine it's very frustrating for you if you know, when you're really into something and really passionate about something, to be forced to wait it out. But thank God, as you say, the surgeon said you will be back on your bike. Now, you said something very important about sharing the roads and, you know, what needs to happen to allow people to cycle and feel safe when they're cycling. And we were talking, as I mentioned, the Rural Roads statistics that came out, 82% of road deaths so far this year, and that's not specifically cyclists, but deaths on the roads. They happened on rural roads with the speed limit of 80 kilometres or higher. Is it the speed limits, do you think, we need to look at, or what do we need to look at to make the road safer?
I think at the very the most important element of this era is a cultural shift where all road users begin to respect each other's right to be on the roads in the first place. I've argued this vehemently, and there is no hierarchy of road users where one category of your road users have rights that supersede all others. We're all out there, and you know, we're all trying to make our way as best we can to work, to school, to college, to meet up with friends, whatever it may be. And irrespective of what mode of transport we use, we have the right and the entitlement to feel safe on our roads. And currently, I would argue the vast majority of cyclists don't. In fact, I think the vast majority of cyclists seriously consider whether or not, you know, that our roads are a safe place to be. And if you look, one example I think there, which is really, really telling, is the number of young people we have cycling to school in this country right now. It's shamefully low. If you look at the CSO data from 1986, we had 19,000 girls cycling to school every year in 1986, which isn't that long ago. And in 2016, we had 694. So plummeting in the numbers of young people cycling to school, which is, again, a denial, I would argue, of a right, of a privilege for every child to get on their bike and do that joyous thing of meeting up with their friends at the crossroads and cycling off to school together in the morning, having a chat and all the physical and mental well-being benefits of that. So, you know, I just think there's a massive cultural shift needed. And that needs to happen right back at the very beginning of driver education, how we approach driver education in this country, how the RSA, encourages people, all road users, to be respectful of one another and to be especially vigilant of one another, to know and to expect that around every corner, at every bend, at every intersection, there may be a pedestrian, there may be a cyclist who is exceptionally vulnerable when encountering, you know, 2,000 kg of steel.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said to you, if you're talking about culture and the way people seem to think about this, every time we discuss this on the show, the texts start coming in on the pro and the anti, or whatever way you want to put it. People giving out about cyclists, or people giving out who are cyclists. I'm sort of agreeing with you in terms of the culture. There's certainly a sort of a war going on there, or a mini war that seems to be going on, rather than this acceptance of sharing the roads. I'm just going to put to you some of the texts, the anti-cyclist texts that seem to be coming in. One person, I mentioned a portal actually, I want to talk to you about that in a second, so I'll leave that for a second. One person says, let cyclists pay road tax and get a license and permit for their bikes the way they do in Switzerland. We hear this a lot, Kieran, when we discuss this on the show. I don't know, do you have anything to say about it?
Well, nobody in Ireland pays road tax. People pay motor tax. A motor tax is a tax based on the carbon emissions emanating from your vehicle, the damage you do to the environment every time you use that vehicle. And cyclists don't do any damage to the environment whatsoever, ergo they don't pay motor tax. So that's the way our motor taxation system is framed in this country. Our road infrastructure is paid for by the taxpayer, by you, by me, by everybody else who pays tax in this country. And also bear in mind, Sarah, I have, I would argue, hundreds of friends who cycle, and I don't know one of them that doesn't own a vehicle or a car and pays motor tax of some kind. So that's a nonsense argument, to be frank.
It
needs to be put to bed. And again, you know, again, that's about this affecting this cultural change.
Yeah.
We all contribute to the development of our roads infrastructure, and we all have an equal right to use it safely.
Sure. Just when we were trying to get you back up on the line there, I read out a text from a listener who was talking about having a portal. I think it's something that, that you would also subscribe to, whereby cyclists could upload footage of dangerous drivers. Now, of course, when I mentioned that at the start of the show, somebody said, what about dangerous cyclists, uploading a portal for dangerous cyclists? But anyway, can you tell us about what you're talking about there?
Certainly. And again, this is partly about affecting that cultural change. In the UK, 3 years ago now, they set up a dash cam portal system for all road users, for motorists, for cyclists, for anybody who uses the camera to record their trips to and from work and elsewhere. So that essentially they were giving the police force across the UK thousands of extra sets of eyes and ears every day on the roads to record violations of road safety laws. So what I was asking in a topical issue debate in the Dáil in June was that we should do the exact same thing here, because that has shown to be exceptionally successful in the UK in terms of affecting change in the behaviour of motorists. In allowing people who have been involved in collisions to submit video evidence, and that helps to corroborate and to establish fault and to, I suppose, to allow then the police to decide what level of punishment is necessary. But, you know, it's for everybody. It's for motorists also use dash cams. And in fact, you will consistently see our Gardaí here in this country where they haven't been able to witness the details of a motor incident or a road traffic incident, should I say, asking people to submit to them dash cam footage. So what I'm asking is we should formalise that process, create a dedicated portal, staff it with specially trained Gardaí who can determine very quickly who's at fault, apportion blame, and help in affecting that kind of a cultural change.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Kieran, we'll keep an eye on it, and we wish you the very best in your recovery. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us this evening. That's Fine Gael TD, Kieran Cannon, and we'll get to more of your responses on that a little later in the programme. It is 10 to 6.